Good morning, church family. Please stand for scripture reading. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think, not the Son of a Man cometh. Please remain standing for wonderful words of life.
Father in heaven, we come now looking forward to your beautiful, wonderful words of life. Please speak, and may your servants listen and encourage, strengthen us through your Holy Spirit. We thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, please be seated. Thank you, choristers. All right. Well, we are going to go to 1 John chapter 2. But I've got a couple of special things for you first. First of which is Frankie. Come on out, Frankie. He's going to give us a little testimony. How you doing, my friend? All right. Praise God. Yeah, good to see you.
Happy Sabbath, church.
Yes, yes.
Just want to share a little bit about how I got here. I was a Sunday Christian for 20 years until about 4 months ago. And me and my girlfriend, Rosie, we're in church on Sunday, and the pastor read this scripture, and it convicted me. It's 1 John 2, 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And something inside me just caught fire. And I said, hold on a second. I said, Rosie, let's go pray fast and study this because something says something to me. God was speaking to me. So we fasted and prayed for 2 days, and I asked for some kind of like revelation, like show me the truth, you know, because I was worshiping on Sunday. And we fasted and prayed for 2 days, and after the 2 days, there wasn't like a revelation in my life where it was like super clear. So I was a little frustrated. I was like, God, I asked you, you know, for a sign, show me something. And we were praying, and in my prayer, I said, why is this Bible so difficult? Why can't I understand it? Why can't you just tell me to follow the Ten Commandments and follow Jesus? And then Rosie said, look at this scripture. It's Revelation 12:17. It says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In that moment, I believe I was born again. The Bible has never been the same since that moment 4 months ago. I've dedicated my life to the Sabbath. Every scripture has been more beautiful from that moment to now. And I will never turn back. I found the truth of the Sabbath. Thank you, God, for showing me the truth. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Amen. Yes, praise the Lord.
Now, just before you leave,
and all of that is going to culminate, likely, in your being baptized, probably sometime in July.
I would love to. I would love to. I've been studying, doing all the studies, and I'm excited to, you know, as the Lord leads, right?
Yeah, amen. And possibly some other great event coming?
Yes, actually, when Rosie came into my life, I had prayed before for a godly woman, and she showed me the truth.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, let me have prayer with you before you go and before we go to the next phase. Oh, Father in heaven, we're so grateful that you promise that we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Frankie's life and Rosie, and that you've brought him into this last day movement of destiny. You're continuing to use him and grow him and Rosie too. And we're just so grateful that we can witness what you are doing in people's lives firsthand. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that was special. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Wow. Fantastic. All right. Now we have a video that is also special about our upcoming evangelist, Daniel Hudgens. So if we can roll that now, that would be great.
Hello, Sacramento Central Church family. My name is Daniel Hudgens, and I work for Amazing Facts, and I have an exciting opportunity to let you know about. We are going to be partnering together coming up in October to present a special series with you guys called Revelation Revealed. We're going to explore how the pages of Scripture are coming alive before our very eyes today in the climate in which we're living. We're going to see that the Bible is not a fairy tale. This series is for seekers, for people that have questions, for people that are seasoned in the faith, or for new believers just coming to grasp with Christianity. This series is for all of the above, and I believe everyone will be blessed when we see the prophecies revealed in their proper perspective centered in Christ. So I'm really excited about coming and connecting with all of you, working together in going forth in the divine commission that Jesus has called us all to participate in, for all of us are called to be disciples. So I'm excited in connecting with you all and doing this series together as we reach out to the community, touch people's hearts. Maybe even some of you in the congregation will be blessed in a way that you've never been blessed before as you come to this series. So I want to let you know, coming up, because the series is in October, I'll be coming to California soon for a youth event at Amazing Facts. So I'm excited to let you know that June, coming up in, let me look at the calendar here, Tuesday, June 16th at your prayer meeting, I have the privilege of coming to connect with you guys, to get to know you in person. You can ask me some questions. We'll look at some nuggets from Scripture and share together, have a little Bible study time together. So I'm excited about all of the above, getting to know you and working alongside you as we take part in this great work that God has called us to participate in, where we're going to have this privilege of letting God's light shine throughout this dark world that we live in today, where we are living at the edge of eternity. And I look forward to partnering with you all, getting to know you, and seeing what the Lord is going to do in the Sacramento area. Blessings to you all.
All right. Well, can I hear an amen for that? Amen. How many of you have heard Daniel Hudgens? Because he's been around. He's going to actually be at the youth conference this week coming up, the June 16th week, and that's why he's able to speak here for us on that Tuesday. So June 16th is a Tuesday. He's going to be speaking here just as kind of a warm-up, and so you can come and hear him in person. His slides are amazing. He actually creates content also, so that's, he does that for Amazing Facts. So slides are wonderful. I heard him at Granite Bay, it's been several weeks ago, maybe a month or so now, when they had a series on the Three Angels' Messages. And he is excellent, so make sure and come out. All right, we continue now our series on 1 John. And so if you will turn there, please, 1 John chapter 2, We will continue, and that is where Frankie read from. We're a little bit beyond that verse now, however. But 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18 and onward is where we're going to look. 1 John 2. All right. First, just a little bit of review from what we've looked at in the past. This sermon is called Christ's Spirit versus Antichrist. So there's two things we're looking at here primarily. There is the end time Antichrist, the Antichrist, diabolical, dark, destructive, all of those things and more. But there's also this spirit of Antichrist, which unfortunately we can partake of, hopefully not. But so there's the Antichrist, and then there's the spirit of Antichrist. And that's what we're going to look at here in just a moment. But first, we review a little bit first. We looked last week at the do not love the world, and we saw what the world was. We saw what the world wasn't, right? The world is not the trees and the grass. That's not what we're not to love. It's not the people. God said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what we're not to love is the corrupt system, sinful system that the world has. And that was summarized by the verse as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the lust of the flesh we saw was obeying our sinful fleshly desires for satisfaction, the lust of the eyes being captivated by everything evil that meets the eye, and the pride of life catering to everything that builds us up, even if it tears others down. And so that's what we don't want, and there was good news we found because Christ, in his temptations, overcame all of these. When the devil said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, et cetera, et cetera. And so the victory that Christ won over all three of those now is our victory. Amen? And so we talked in Sabbath school a little bit about having the faith to get us through when Jesus comes. Well, our faith won't make it, but there is a faith that will make it. Amen? And it's the faith of Jesus. He lived a perfect life, and when Jesus was on earth, he lived by faith. That's how he overcame, was by faith. And now he offers us that perfect faith to get through the last days. Amen? Come on, say amen if that's good news. So he will get us through safely because Christ has overcome it all. And his victory is ours. Also at the cross, we saw again these three temptations come back to him. And these ifs that the devil keep, you know, prodding him with. If you are the Son of God, if you are Messiah, if you are King, do this, do this, do this. And Christ, every time, came through with the word of God and won the victory. All right, with that background, we see and have seen and will see two sides, and John is very clear. I mean, like the scripture that Frankie read, if you don't if you don't do this, you're a liar. John is like really straight. So when we read it, just know that this is the way that John puts things. But the two sides are darkness and light, right? Error and truth, hate and love, love of the world or love of God, following self or keeping God's law, Antichrist or Christ. And that's where we go today, primarily along with this lawlessness versus righteousness, right? Because there's a man of sin or a man of lawlessness, and it's his spirit we want to stay away from. We don't want anything to do with it. But there's a man who's the man of righteousness, Christ our righteousness, and we want all of him. Come on and say amen if you believe that. Every bit. All right, let's continue on then, and we'll look at this passage. First of all, in verses 18 and onward, I've got the King James rendering this morning. Here's what it says. Little children, it is the last time, or the last hour, depending on what version you have. Do you believe we're living in the last time right now? Absolutely. We see things coming from all different angles. If it was just one thing, you could say, oh, well, that's just cyclical, Pastor. That just comes and goes. No, no. There's too many things combining to think that we're not in the last days. We're in the last hour. And it was true somewhat in the day that John wrote it, but so much more so now. Little children, it is the last time or the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Now, this is in the Greek, the definite article is there, the, right? That's the definite article. So the Antichrist. You've heard that the Antichrist shall come. That's talking about the one man or person, which is a succession of men. We'll go into that in a little bit. That is to come. The last one shall come. Even now, there are many antichrists. Interesting. So even in John's day, there was this spirit, as we'll see, of antichrist. But the true antichrist, the epitome of all of that brought together, had not come yet. Whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, don't miss that. It's the last time, and you've heard that Antichrist, the Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists. This is how we know that we are in the last time, because the spirit of Antichrist is already here, and Antichrist is here also, but is not in full view to all of us. Verse 19, they went out from us, that is the Antichrists, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they were not, they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. So we read here of a coming out, these antichrists. Unfortunately, this is a spirit that was in the church in John's day, because he said they were part of us, but then they weren't really part of us. That's why they went out of us, to manifest that they were not of us. But here we see an apostasy going on, or falling away from the truth, or coming out of the Bible truth. And we'll see that again in 2 Thessalonians, where we're going to look at the man of sin. Because when we talk about Antichrist, the Antichrist, it's the same guy that is the man of sin, the same guy that is the little horn of Daniel 7, and the same guy that is the first beast of Revelation 13. So it's the same entity, just under slightly different titles. But these antichrists, or this spirit, then went out of the church. And then verse 20, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, or an anointing from the Holy One, some versions say, and you know all things. Now, let me continue, and then I need to clear something up for you. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, the Antichrist, that denies the Father and denies the Son. Now, there's two words here that you have to understand clearly to understand the passage. And that is this bit about knowing from verse 21 and onward. It's you know the truth, but because you know it, the lie is not of the truth. So when we say we know it here, it's actually not just a mental assent. When John is saying no, he means you're embracing the truth. And there's a big difference between just knowing something intellectually and actually embracing, right? We can know all the things about the last days and all the doctrines, but if it hasn't changed our hearts, then something needs to change in us. Come on, say amen. And that's basically what he's saying here. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. You have embraced the truth. You're getting it. You're not just hearing something, but it's changing your life. But then, who is a liar but he that denieth the truth? Now, deny, you need to understand that, because there can be just a mental assent to deny. Well, I don't believe that. This is more than that, right? Even as knowing is more, it's embracing the truth, embracing Christ. Denying is not just to deny the existence of, but replace with falsehood, okay? Because remember, Antichrist means anti and then Christ, right? Means against Christ, but it also means what? In place of, you got it, or instead of Christ. And so he that denieth and has the spirit of Antichrist is doing the same thing, but on a much smaller level. But that's what Antichrist will do, the Antichrist. He will deny, not just deny the existence of, but replace with falsehood. Go with me to 2 Peter. I'm going to throw a verse in chapter 2. It's just a couple pages over. 2 Peter chapter 2, and you'll see this denial turning into instead of, not just against, but instead of. That's Antichrist. And by the way, our brother Daniel Hudgens, he's going to do a great job. Look forward for his series coming up. Says this, 2 verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privily shall bring in damnable heresies. So, and then it says, even denying the Lord that bought them. So not only are they denying, but they're bringing something else in instead of. Do you see that? Privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. All right, let's go back to 1 John. But you're getting the idea, I hope, that Antichrist is not just against Christ, but instead of, and that this denial is more than just a mental thing, as is this acceptance or this knowing Christ. To know Christ is more than just to know about him, but to know him. Amen? Lots of people know about him, but unless you know him and his changing, life-changing power in your heart, you haven't gotten the whole picture. Amen? And the whole picture is a beautiful picture. Well, that's what we see in verse 21 and 22, those who know and those who deny. Verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Notice that last part is all in italics, that whole sentence, which means it's a scribal addition. Probably a good one. It adds more closure to that portion there, but it is an addition. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain, abide and remain are kind of cognate, right? Almost synonymous words. Remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, as I said, to know is to embrace with all that you are and all that you have. That's the word know here. To deny is to live contrary to and to replace with falsehood. That's sort of a review. But Jesus here is calling his people to abide, to cling, or to be attached to, right? And the imagery comes to me right away, and maybe to you also, John 15, right? I am the vine and you are the branches, right? And so this abiding relationship is what God would have us to have in these last days. That is what will keep us from the spirit of Antichrist and keep us from falling in line with the Antichrist and his last day deceptions. If we are clinging to God and allowing him to lead us, we have nothing to worry about. Amen? He will take care of us, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so he says to abide or remain. which kind of almost can remind you of Revelation 14. Here are they that keep two things. What are they? Commandments of God and the, I'm thinking of verse 12, and the faith of Jesus, right? So they keep, or they hold on to, or they cling, right? They will not let go. They're going to remain stayed on these things. And so that's what John is calling his people to. And of course, he wrote eloquently on abiding in the gospel and chapter 15 and other places. So this abiding relationship is what we need. If we don't have it, it's going to show in our the way we live, right? And your spouses are going to know, your kids are going to know, right? I mean, it'll be obvious to everybody if you're not abiding. And it will also be obvious if you are abiding, amen? And that's the good news. God wants us to abide that others may see him. It's too late in this earth's history to do anything but abide. Amen? And as we abide in him, like our Sabbath school lesson talked about, we're abiding in him now, and pretty soon we'll be abiding in him for eternity. Amen? And so this is so crucial to abide, to stay, to hold on to cling to Christ as he is our everything. That's what it goes on to say regarding abiding. Remain, verse 25 says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. When does eternal life begin? Is it when we, I mean, it's going to be eternal when we have these new bodies and so forth, but is it possible that it begins now? Yes, I see some people saying indeed it is, and it is, right? You can have it, it starts now. It just lasts for eternity. And so that is the promise that God has given to us, even eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning them that seduce you. So he's saying that there are those that will cause you to wander or waver. And so we must be careful about that. And those of the world will try to convince us, oh, you know, that's, you know, that religious stuff is for nothing. But don't listen to them, friends. If you've tried the world, some of you have. I've heard some of your testimonies. No, it's not there. The peace, the joy, everything that the devil offers is a smokescreen. Amen? The real life, the real joy is here among God's people. Amen? And having Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, he goes on speaking about this abiding relationship with you. But the anointing which you have, verse 27, you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Notice how many times this word comes back and back and back. So, application. How do we abide in Christ? What does that mean? I mean, do we, you know, we can't get up inside of him, right? What does it mean to abide or to be in Christ? How do you abide? What are things that keep you attached? We should also be thinking about what are some things that keep you from being attached, right? Those things we need to get rid of. But to be attached, to abide with Christ, we need to be hearing his voice, correct? How do we hear his voice? The Bible, right? That's his voice speaking. And also, we need to be in prayer, amen? In close communion with him. These are the ways that we abide, right? That we build an abiding trust, faith, relationship in him. We're claiming his precious and divine promises. We're praying. And also by sharing, you become strengthened. Amen? And so these are ways to abide. So I don't want this to be some nebulous thing. Oh, yeah, I was taught to abide today, but I have no idea what that means. It's prayer, right? It's Bible study. It's sharing God with others. This is the abiding relationship. Moment by moment, we can abide with Christ. Verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him." There it is again. "That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming." So this abiding relationship, when he comes, we looked at this in Sabbath school too. Isaiah, when it talks about, we'll say, "Lo, this is our God, we have waited for him and he will save us." Think about that, because it may be that that will be the time that Antichrist will be appearing on earth and saying that he is the Christ, right? Now, if he's on earth, is he the Christ? No, not at the second coming. So that's one clear sign, right? Ask him where is his cloud, because he's coming with the cloud. So that's the wrong guy. But think about that verse now. "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us." Not this guy. This is the wrong guy. If we have that abiding relationship with Christ now, he'll give us the strength for every test that we need between now and then. Amen? Now, if God determines that we don't have the strength to go through those tests, he may allow us to go to our rest before he comes. But that's not a bad thing either, amen? Because he will raise us up, as 1 Thessalonians says, "Together the dead in Christ shall rise first," right? "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." That's the way the second coming happens. That's the way the Bible tells us that it happens. All right, well, Jesus has called us to cling or be attached to him. Now, there is another little passage here on Antichrist, but we haven't quite finished this one. Verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and be not ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So how do we get, well, what is righteousness, first of all? I mean, I think we know, but it's right doing, right? It's the opposite of sin, righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. So what it's saying is the place we get our righteousness from is Christ. Amen? Simply put. That's where our righteousness comes from. If we're doing righteousness, it's from Christ. And righteousness is not just something seen, but something that comes from the heart. Well, let's take a look at also chapter 3, verse 23 through 4:2. Because here we have another mention of Antichrist. It says this, verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwells in him, and he in him." And so there's that abiding relationship, which is revealed in the keeping of his commandments. Christianity is always first relational, then it is behavioral. Amen? It's first, don't get it twisted around. Don't get the cart before the horse, because you'll end up with a mess, right? But it is first relational, as we have a relationship, an abiding relationship with Christ. Then the keeping of the commandments is not burdensome, not grievous, as John says. So that's what it says to believe on the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Then verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments dwell in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us." So there are two spirits out there, right? There's the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. And we must be operating under God's Spirit. If you keep it, it reveals you are dwelling in him by the Spirit, if you keep his commandments. And then verse 4 mentions Antichrist again. These are the only two places by name that we have it, where he says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." So he just talked about the spirit that can be in you, that needs to be in you, and will be revealed by the keeping of the commandments if it is in you. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits." Because again, there's a Holy Spirit and there's an anti-spirit. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Now there's that word confess again. We looked at that in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word confess was a compound word, homo logeo, right? Which means to same, homo is just same word, right? To say the same word about sin and about righteousness that he says it. So here's confess. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, okay? So they're saying the same thing about God that he is. Every spirit that confesses, that says the same thing about Jesus Christ is, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not, okay, so they're saying something anti of Christ. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God, and that is the spirit of who? Antichrist. Are you reading it along with me? 4 verse 3. It's the spirit of Antichrist. Where have you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world? So you have the spirit of God and the spirit of Antichrist. And here, one of the keys is every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come or has come in the flesh is of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh? Yes, of course, we believe that. That's what the Bible teaches, that Jesus came down. That's why we talked about the faith of Jesus, because he was in the flesh and he overcame through faith, right? He was tempted in how many points like we are? All points like as we are, yet did he sin? Absolutely not, right? Yet without sin. So he took flesh upon him. Now there's two aspects to this. He took humanity into himself. That's a deep one. But he became the second or the last Adam or representative of mankind. He did that, but he also took flesh, right? He took sinful flesh. Now that doesn't mean he was a sinner. Obviously, in that case, he would need a savior. But he took the flesh that you and I have, but never allowed it to overcome him and never sin. Oh, what a savior we have today, my friends. And so Jesus did that. And so when we talk about Antichrist, we've talked a little bit about the spirit of Antichrist, and that is something, unfortunately, that we can have, but we don't want, and that God can give us the victory over. But what about Antichrist, the Antichrist? This dark, destructive, diabolical, last day culmination of all of the spirits of Antichrist together and more. Just the epitome of evil. Well, might he, would he look like this, do you think? Would this fool very many people? No, because remember, he's not just against Christ, he's also where? Instead of. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going for this at all. No. But all of the reformers, Luther, Zwingli, Calvin, you name it, all identified the Antichrist as the system of the papacy. Now, the disclaimer must go forward. There are amazing people in the Catholic Church. Many of them don't even know what the Catholic Church believes, some of them. But they're wonderful. This is not about Catholic people. This is about a system and a teaching of truth that is anti to Christ. That's what it's about. Now, is this possibly the Antichrist? Well, yes. All the reformers believe that. And I'm going to look at a couple scriptures with you on this. But it would be important to listen to what the papacy says about itself. If someone else says, well, this is this, and you're this, well, that could be slander or libel or anything else. But when the group says something about itself, then it's a little more in line with reality. So Here is a statement that the papacy makes about itself. The Pope holds such great dignity and is so exalted that he is considered not merely a man, but as it were, God, and the vicar of God. Do you know what a vicar is? I heard a couple people. It's the representative, right? It's God on earth, which, who is God's representative? Which of the Godhead is God's representative on earth? The Holy Spirit, right? Exactly. So this is not just saying that he is as if he were God, but that he is the vicar of God. Goes on to say, the Pope alone deservedly is called by the name Most Holy because he alone is the vicar of Christ. So again, instead of Christ. The Pope is of so great authority that he can modify even, sorry for the spell error there, he can modify even divine laws. Divine laws. So this is a man that can modify divine law. Now, divine law is whose law? God's law. So a man can modify or change God's law? Are you buying that? I'm not buying that. Go with me to Daniel chapter 7, and we can't do a full study on this. I'd love to, but it can't happen today. But go to Daniel chapter 7, because there is a power that was spoken of that would think to change times and law. We're talking about the same power. The little horn is the same as the Antichrist, is the same as the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians, is the same as the first beast of Revelation 13. So in Daniel, it's a building prophecy. It starts with Daniel 2, then Daniel 7 and 8, then Daniel 11. Repeat and enlarge, right? You get more and more information. Daniel 2, there was a prophecy. And you had these four metals and then something at the bottom. And it started with who at the top? Babylon, right? And then Medo-Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, right? And Rome is pretty much where it ends. Now, there is the feet of iron and clay, which is church and state, which will not mix together. But the last one is Rome. Doesn't go on to any others. Well, look with me at Daniel chapter 7, which then enlarges on this. And in verse 19, Daniel is wanting to know the meaning of this vision, the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. By the way, which kingdom was the iron kingdom in those four metals? Huh? Rome was the iron. You got it. Right, so here we see the diverse from one another, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron. Clear reference back to Daniel 2 and the kingdom. Nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces and stamped the residue with its feet, and of the 10 horns which were in its head, and of the other horn that came up, the little horn, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, and whose look was more stout than his fellows. So this little horn is a man that speaks great things, not great things in favor of God, but against, anti-God. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. This is the little horn. Did the papacy make war against the saints? Yes. We have something called the Dark Ages. More blood was spilt in that time period than probably any other war or any other entity has ever spilt. The estimates are 50 million. Now, that is a lot of years. It's 1,260 years, but that's a lot of people. Many of whom just wanted to believe in the Word of God. Some of whom died because they did not believe in transubstantiation. Everybody know what that is? That's where the little Eucharist and the wine actually become the body and blood of Christ. Now we do communion here, right? And we believe what? Consubstantiation. We believe that they're symbols of his, but in their case, Jesus actually comes down and he's in that little wafer. Well, there were those that said, no, you know, I just can't buy that. And Bloody Mary had them put to death. Read your history. You'll see it. And so this was a terrible time. And so this clearly was fulfilled by this power that made war with the saints till the Ancient of the Days came and judgment was given to the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. But going on in the description here, then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, tread down and break it to pieces. The 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings, which shall arise, and another shall arise after them. That is the little. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And then verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. So anti to Christ, who is the Most High, or God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. That's the persecution that took place. And think to change times and laws, or as the RSV puts it, times and law. And that's what we just read here, that he, in their mind, has great authority so he can modify even divine laws. And they shall be given unto his hand a time, times, and the dividing of time. That's speaking of that 1260 years period. But this is a kingdom that would think to change times and law. Going on about the changing. What commandment is the most disputed commandment, shall we say? The Sabbath, the fourth commandment, right? Now, you could say idols, because that one's been messed with in the catechism also, but it's the Sabbath for sure. And so listen to these other statements. Protestantism, in discarding the authority of the Roman Catholic Church, has no good reason. Am I reading that right? Yes, has no good reasons for its Sunday theory and ought logically to keep Saturday as the Sabbath. So that's what the Catholic Church says about Protestants. Are you a Protestant today? Amen. Goes on to say this, and again, these are all Catholic sources, so it's not like we're bashing something. No, no, no. This is what they say about themselves. Sunday is our mark, and that should say, of authority. Now, do we read about a mark in the Bible? Mark of the Beast. And the opposite or the counter to the mark of the beast is what? The seal of God. That's where God wants us to be. That's this abiding relationship. The sealing is a process that begins now, friends. It culminates in something, but it's a process that begins now. Transfers of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. And then again, of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change, Saturday Sabbath to Sunday, was her act, and the act is the mark of her ecclesiastical authority in religious things. So it kind of comes down to, who are you going to follow, right? Who will you follow? What spirit will you follow? Will you follow someone who thinks they can change divine things, a human? Or will you follow the divine Son of God and the Father himself? And then this one is really good too, and this is much more recent, 1995. Perhaps the boldest thing, the most revolutionary change the church ever did, happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath, was changed from Saturday to what? Sunday. That's why today everybody goes to church on Sunday. It happened so far back, people don't know, have no clue. I remember a lady came into our church. She was a godly lady, and I knew she read her Bible. And I'm like, you know, I know you love the Lord. I know you have a relationship with him. How did you not see this? She said, Pastor, every time I read Sabbath, in my mind, I thought Sunday, and I just kept on reading. Isn't that something? Because that's how far back it came in to the church. Going on, the day of the Lord was chosen, day of the Lord, quote, We talked about that, Frankie. The day of the Lord was chosen not from any direction noted in scriptures. Well, they're talking about Sunday with the day of the Lord, which is not the day of the Lord. But anyway, but from the church, the Catholic Church, sense of its own power. People who think that the scriptures should be the sole authority. How many of you think the scriptures should be the sole authority? Raise your hands. That think that the scripture should be the sole authority should logically become Seventh-day Adventists and keep Saturday holy. Come on and say amen. Amen. That is the truth. And that is from St. Catherine's Church Sentinel from Michigan in 1895. Now here's another one. And this is about the exaltation of Mary. And this, I mean, I get the goosebumps when I read, and you're gonna, I think, also, when you read some of this stuff, because Mary then is elevated. Now, was Mary an amazing, she was just a child, right? A young lady. Was she not an amazing young lady that was used by God? Come on, say amen. Absolutely. But is she in heaven right now and we're to send our prayers to her? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, listen to this. Exaltation of Mary, Pope Leo XIII. Now, this is the 14th that we have now. So this is the one back in the 1888 era-ish. Said, every grace to man has 3 degrees. Now, every grace to man includes salvation, by the way. So keep that in mind. Every grace to man has 3 degrees. One, by God, it is communicated to Christ. Two, by Christ, it is passed to the Virgin. Now, the first two, I was with them, right? Yeah, it's God and then it's Christ, passed to the Virgin. Three, from the Virgin, it descends to us. Are you getting this? This is not, I mean, the first two, I got those right here, but the third one, I don't have here. You got it. Jeremiah 44, the Queen of Heaven. I won't go there, but since you mentioned it, it's just a continuation. St. Bonaventure says this, the gates of heaven will open to all who confide in the protection of who? Mary. Again, I'm not downing Mary. Mary was amazing. God used her, amazing. But is she my protector? No, she's not my protector. Give ear, O ye nations, and all you who desire heaven. Serve and honor Mary, and certainly you will find eternal life. That's false gods, that's spiritualism, all wrapped up in one. Now, if you think, oh, that's just, those are old statements, whatever, Pastor, I mean, things have changed. By the way, I Googled, that's AI, I Googled, can priests forgive sins? Of course they can. But when I Googled it, you know what came up? It said, yeah, they can forgive sins just like you can. When someone sins against you, just forgive them. And I'm thinking, what? That is not what it's talking about with the priest forgiving sins and having a confessional. No, no, no. Completely different. So be careful with your searches. Now, this is the prayer. You've heard of this 250th anniversary of our nation, right? This is the prayer that it goes along with this 250th committee. And they say, we should pray this prayer every day. Yeah, I agree with you, no. But that's what they're saying. This should be our prayer every day, we should pray this. And this is written by Cardinal Raymond Burke. Now, listen to this. If this doesn't give you the eebie-jeebies, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, okay, King of heaven and earth, I place today my nation into your heart pierced, for love for us. You know, it's okay. There's no mention of the Father anywhere. Anyway, every prayer is a little different. So, I mean, let's not be too critical. But this next part, under the mantle of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Oh, ay, 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 it's right. Who is the Lady of Guadalupe? Mary. But how did she become the Lady of Guadalupe? Because she appeared, right, to Juan Diego in this vision. Now, Where is Mary right now? She's in the grave. So if she appeared in vision to Juan Diego, who appeared to Juan Diego in his vision? Wasn't Mary. It was a demon. So under the mantle of the Lady of Guadalupe, which is completely referring to this, patroness of the Americas, and through the intercession of her Immaculate Heart, okay, bless my homeland anew. Draw every, that should say heart, into communion with you, that your truth, your love, your justice, your mercy, and peace may triumph in America and throughout the world. But do you see the undertones here of praying to Mary for protection? And not just Mary, but the Lady of Guadalupe, which actually makes an even stronger course, unfortunately. Friends, who should we pray to? Who is the one that said, if you come to me, I will by no means cast you out? Jesus, right? We should pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Mary doesn't come into it, friends. She is in the grave now. Well, we have to close for today, but there are two choices for us. I don't know about you, but I'm choosing the man of Calvary today. Amen? Amen. That man who stretched out his arms for me and died that cruel death, allowed that crown of thorns to be placed on his head, those feet that so often ran in missions of mercy, nailed to those wooden bars and those hands. And all that pain and suffering, more than that, his heart was broken by our sins, by my sins, you and I. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Friends, today we can start receiving the seal of God. Now, don't misquote me here. Does anybody have the mark of the beast yet? No, absolutely not. But is the sealing a process? Yes. So we're either heading towards that or we're heading away from that. Today is the day to head towards that. Amen? To just block out the noise of this world, say, no, I'm not listening to that stuff. If it's against Christ's commandments, if it's against his ways, block that out and allow the word of Christ to dwell in you richly. Amen? Let's pray, and then our choristers will come up for this closing hymn. Father in heaven, we've covered a lot of material here today, and I hope that the information has been clear. Your Holy Spirit has been here, that I know, and I just pray that application will be made freely and abundantly by each one. Lord, we don't want anything to do with the spirit of Antichrist. That is the worldly spirit, that is the spirit of darkness, of hatred, and of error, and we want nothing to do with it. So please, Lord, take it out of our lives and out of our families and out of our homes. And Lord, give us the Spirit of Christ that will continue the sealing process that he's begun on each one here. And Lord, we long for that seal of God to be placed in our foreheads, which will be seen by the keeping of the commandments, your commandments, Lord, including the fourth commandment. We're just so grateful, Lord, that you've given us these divine truths. We pray for those that are in error, Lord. Please draw them to yourself. There's many sincere people out there who do not know the things that we know and do not know the relationship that they can have with the Almighty and living God. So please, Lord, send us forth and make us as a drink offering upon a thirsty world, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Please stand for our dedication hymn. We know not the hour, all three stanzas.
Or the Master's appearing. Yes. Watch and be ready, He will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, He will come in the clouds of His Father's bright glory, that we know not the hour. There's light for the wise who are seeking salvation. Truth in the book of the Lord's revelation. Each prophecy points to the great cause of salvation, but we know not the hour. He will come. Let us watch Him.
Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.